sick? Is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Amen. They're still reading. Yeah, verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Amen. Lord, we also give you this fellowship today. We pray that you open this word to us. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your stern rebuke of the unfaithful priest who defiled the priesthood and covenant of Levi. Praise the Lord. What shall we say about this part that we just read? We can't really say much about it. That's why today for breakfast we said, what shall we say about it? And Ludwig gave the right answer. Ludwig, tell us again. Let's read it and do it. Yeah, just read it and just do it. Isn't not that what we should do? That's why we can pray over this word and seek the Lord, and afterwards we can go for lunch. You don't want that? But you say we don't want this. Lord Jesus, save us. I will have a short fellowship. These verses 6 to 14, they speak so much about the practice of the priesthood. Why? Because we heard that the condition of God's people was very fallen, completely fallen. The priesthood was completely lost. And yesterday, we heard from Malachi to the coming of the Lord was 400 years. And in this time, the priesthood went down even further and got more and more corrupted. When John told them, you brood of vipers, that was the fall of the priesthood. But today, we don't live in the time of the first coming, but we live in the new covenant. Yeah, at the time of the second coming of the Lord. And we have to see that the condition of God's people in the time of Malachi didn't really, wasn't very different from our condition today. That's why Malachi is the last book of the Old Covenant. And is kind of parallel to Revelation, the last book of the New Testament. In Malachi, the Lord exposed the condition of the priesthood and calls them to repent and to overcome. Yeah, turn to me. Then I will turn to you. And what does the Lord do in Revelation? Isn't it the same? Didn't he speak to all the seven churches? He who overcomes, he who has an ear. And in almost every church, he so clearly exposed something that he didn't like. That shows us that they kind of correspond to each other, these two books. And in the end of this age today, the Lord wants to have a holy priesthood. That's what we have in our hearts very consciously. That's the goal. In Malachi and in Revelation. In Malachi 1, in verse 6, it says, a son, the Lord speaks to the priests. In Revelation, in chapter 1, to him who loves us and made us a kingdom of priests. These two books, they speak to the priesthood. That's why, as we heard yesterday, if we don't want to be the priesthood, then we don't have to read Malachi, because then it doesn't speak to us much. But praise the Lord that there is a remnant. That's why the book is for us in Malachi. Malachi is not for the Jews, but it's written for the true Jews. He is a Jew who is inwardly. Praise the Lord. A son honors his father and a servant his master. In the first part, we read that God loves us. And naturally, I would have started, a son should love his father, because that's corresponding to his love to us. But when it is about a priesthood and the fall of the priesthood, who have left their first love long time ago. So God calls on them, a son honors his father. That's what God expects from us today. That's why we as the priesthood should learn to give honor to him. And a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? That's a good question. He's not only the father, he's also the creator. He created everything. It's very normal and obvious that we should honor him. The priesthood, unfortunately, they did something different. If then I am the father, where is my honor? Yeah, we just heard about the love of the Lord. And both, like the fear and the love, belongs together. We can't just love the Lord and not fear Him. On the other hand, we should also be not afraid and just afraid of Him. We need both the love and the fear. Sometimes the Lord has to appear to us and that we wake up. When the Son of Man, in his ascended state, appeared to him, John fell down. That's what we need from time to time. Then we see our condition and turn to him. The Lord speaks to the priest who defiled his name, despised his name. Okay. Are we his priest today? Who said amen? Oh, it was George. George is a priest. Praise the Lord. The second question, do you honor his name or do you despise his name? George would say, how? In what way? Oh, me? Never. Or? Not only George, but me too. If someone would tell me, you despise the name of the Lord, I would say, what are you talking about? Don't you know that I do morning watch every day, half an hour? That I go to the meeting every Sunday? My colleague, he despises the name. He's cursing his name every time. They say, oh, they're cursing him. And I would say, oh, they are despising the name. And it is like that. But here, he talks to the priest. Who despise my name? He doesn't talk to the unbelievers who curse him and despise his name that way. But he talks to the priests who despise his name. How is that possible? Well, in what way have we despised your name? They say, because they can't imagine. We are Christians. We're believers. And we're in the church in Zion. And we want to do the priestly service. And woe if someone tells me I'm despising his name. Or I'm going to throw him out. Yeah, that's not what we like to hear. That's what the question, why? Why are they asking this? Because they are no longer sensitive towards the speaking of the Lord. The Lord was speaking, but they have no more ear to hear. It's like it says in Revelation 2 and 3. He said it seven times. He who has an ear, let him hear it. He says it to the church. That's why we have in the outline Ephesians 4:17-19. Ephesians 4:17-19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, he's reading to the church of the Ephesians. Yeah, you shouldn't be hardened like the nations. Yeah, the nations have no sense of the priesthood. But I say to you, priests, he says it to the church, who is the priesthood. They are being past feeling. that's why the Lord has to save us from this condition. Yeah, he says in Hebrews, do not harden your heart. It says three times in the epistle of the Hebrews. We shouldn't say in one way. It's better. Do you mean me, Lord? Show me where I am despising your name. It's not bad if we are humble before the Lord. And then further it says in Malachi, you offer, in verse 7, you offer defiled food on my altar. Suddenly it talks about the altar and about the offering of food, of bread. In Leviticus 21, it talks about the bread. It says here, you despise the name of the Lord in connection with bringing bread to the altar. That's a strong word. If today, we as the believers do this priestly service, or we don't appreciate it and bring him the bread that belongs to him and take it lightly and even reject it and criticize it, then we despise the name of the Lord. Although we are Christians, although we are in the church, you don't have to curse to despise the name of the Lord. But when you the altar and the offerings on the altar, and you criticize and you don't want to have anything to do with it, then it says you despise my name. And even worse, it says defiled bread. And it says, in what way have we defiled you? It's like the people always have to say something. Always, no matter what God says, every time comes another question towards the Lord. Such questions. You can see at least 13 times the people say something, God says something, and the people say, but why? God says, bring me the offerings. And they say, why? We are in the new covenant. No more offerings. Why? 13 times, why? How often do we ask the Lord? How often do we reject the Lord? It's not so good to reject, oppose the word of the Lord. Lord, I want your word. It's better to say this. You have to honor it. You offer defiled food on my altar, but you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 7. Suddenly, Malachi or the people talk about the table of the Lord. Why do they suddenly talk about the table of the Lord? They just talked about the altar. The altar has to do a lot with the Lord's table. In Ezekiel 41, they talk about the altar of the Lord as being the table of the Lord. What is our consciousness when we come to the table every Sunday? Do we think it's the altar? When we on Sunday come to the Sunday service, how often do we come with such a thinking we're coming to the altar? We think we come to the table, we take some bread and some wine, and then we sing some song, and then we listen to a message. If that's the table of the Lord, where is the consciousness of the altar? Nope. No consciousness of the altar. That's for the priesthood, it shouldn't be like that. Of course, he said, the Lord gave himself for us and became our offering. That's no problem that the Lord became all the offerings. But what about us? The Lord said, the word says, we should bring him his food. Therefore, do not let us defile the or despise the table of the Lord. We should appreciate the altar. We should be aware that we're coming to the holy altar to bring your food. And, O Lord, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. At the time of Malachi, of the whole flock that they have, they took that sheep that they didn't like, that they didn't want to keep it. They brought it to the Lord. That is evil. You can't do that. Everybody of us would understand this. But what about us when we come to the Lord's table? If we don't say anything, I made 10 experiences, but the 9 best ones are for me, but the 10th one I give to the Lord. We wouldn't do that. But the question is, how do you prepare for the table of the Lord? Do I think about it? What is worthy of the Lord? Or do I bring anything out of my flock? To honor God, to take time before God the Father, to bring the best and to bring it to the Lord. To honor him. Of course, we would say, then I'd rather bring nothing. Then I'll just come how I am. And I'll wait until the brothers in the first row brought their offering. That's also not right. In Deuteronomy 16 it says, you should not come with empty hands. Our attitude should be, I want to bring you the best. Even if the best is just a small experience and doesn't look like much, as long as it comes from the heart and honestly, it is well-pleasing to him. That's why there are different sizes for the offerings. You can start with the small experiences, but we want to go on and bring him the best. Let us have such an attitude to learn to bring you the best. But we can make up an experience that didn't even happen. Yeah, so you think about, yesterday this and this happened, and you made it up. That's not right. And you shouldn't embellish your offering and put some spices in, like in our meal offering, some salt and pepper and paprika and some garlic. Onions, and make it nicer, that it sounds better. Don't let us do this. Don't embellish your offering. And another sentence and another story, that's not necessary. It just gets burnt up anyways. Let us learn to bring him the best part, where we gain Christ. Don't think if you have such a wonderful priestly service. If everybody brings the best of the best, that will have an influence on the nations around us. That's why it says in verse 11, "For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." If we have such a glorious testimony, and the priesthood gives honor to God, then the nations among us will be influenced. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Then we don't despise the name of the Lord. Oh, it says in Romans 2, because of you, the Lord's name is being despised. That's not what should happen. Let us learn to give solid food to the Lord and have a good influence on the Gentiles. That's why it says in the last verse, because I'm a great king, says the Lord of hosts. If we are faithful in the priesthood, that's why he can work on the Gentiles.